project management, green, entrepreneurs, immigration, China. You can't escape these topics in the business world today. Gary Bainey, CEO of Boundless Flight, is involved in all these hot areas. In this podcast, Gary gives examples and some very frank opinions as to what we need to do to reach our potential as a region.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show. Today we're speaking with Gary Bainey. Gary is the CEO of Boundless Flight with headquarters here in Cleveland, Ohio. Gary, you and Boundless Flight have been in a kind of a vague space to many of us. It's project management, and that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. What does it mean to you and Boundless Flight?
Well, Dan, we're very focused on project management as defined by the PMI Institute, headquartered over here in Baldwin Wallace College. We're very familiar with the PMBOK, which is the project that's defined by PMI, and we're very tuned to having PMI certified project management professionals on our team. We teach corporations how to manage projects specifically using PMI processes on the Microsoft Project software package. We're experts at implementing, administering, and maintaining the data sets of Microsoft Project. We offer Microsoft Project in the software as a services model for organizations who don't want to house it behind their own firewall. We guarantee it, we administer it, we help them manage the data sets and use it effectively as a management tool. One of the big gaps between the project management tools world and the project management disciplines is that measurability and knowing that you're effectively managing your projects. We're very, very good at helping folks do that and setting up the measurability right on the front end of the implementation of the project management and the tools.
What would be an example of a project that requires project management software and support?
One of our largest customers is Energizer Batteries, housed over in Westlake, Ohio. We actually support Microsoft Project 2007 server worldwide for Energizer. When they have a new product as a concept, they right away create a project for that new product. And they start estimating how much time the R&D is going to take, how much time the manufacturing is going to take, how much time the approvals are going to take. All those small steps along the way that have to be executed for that product to eventually be sitting on the shelf at a Walmart. We support them worldwide. They have European operations, they have Chinese operations, and they have several manufacturing plants throughout the United States, all going through one instance of Microsoft Project 2007 and all being managed by Boundless Flight. The PMO manager over there, a fellow by the name of George Chris, is one of the more astute PMO managers I've ever met in my career, and he understands the value of central management of projects to bring and maximize ROI for the corporation.
So you're helping to keep that Energizer Bunny marching along.
We are. We are, very proudly. They're a wonderful company to work with. The management team there is extremely professional, and they have a marvelous strategic vision. They've gone through a series of acquisitions recently with folks like Schick and with Playtex, and we think they're a company to bet on in the future.
All right, well, project management is one of those hot terms that we're hearing about all the time. Probably the hottest term out there, the biggest buzz, is this whole green concept. Green is everywhere. Green is hot. Are you taking any initiatives with green?
Yeah, my son, Ben, is a senior at Illinois State University, and he won't allow me not to. His whole focus is green initiatives become his passion. And this past year, Boundless Flight took a good look at where our resources were located throughout northeastern Ohio. And even though we are completely a virtual corporation, some of our folks get some benefit out of meeting in a central location from time to time. So we did a mean distance analysis of where all of our folks were located, and we actually drew a pinhole in the map as to what the maximum location would be, and we opened up an office within just a couple blocks of there. Several of our folks can literally walk to work now, so they don't even have to turn their engine on in good weather. And about the maximum many of our folks are driving out of that office is about 7 miles.
Oh, that's great.
So we're doing our best to try to find opportunities like that where we can do things to benefit not only our employees, but also the environment as a whole.
Another hot topic that we hear all the time is entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is in vogue and celebrated. You've been involved with many groups in entrepreneurship since you've arrived here in Cleveland. You know, what's going on? What do you see in the entrepreneurship scene in Cleveland?
Yeah, Boundless Flight has been involved in some entrepreneur groups up to 5 figures a year in support. We really believe in supporting aggressively and directly entrepreneurial spirit. I believe that entrepreneurial spirit is going to be the salvation of Northeastern Ohio. When you look at what Forbes found with Youngstown and with Canton, we've got to grab ourselves by the lapels and just shake ourselves out of this. And the way to do that is to be innovative, creative, and aggressive in our thinking and our business model executions. One of the sad notes that I've seen evolving the last few years in Cleveland is the definition of entrepreneurship as me, the little guy, ripping off my employer and running away with their customers or running away with their business model and calling that entrepreneurship. it's not entrepreneurship, folks. I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, we've actually pulled back our support of one of the groups that we were at one time very directly involved in, because that's all we see coming out of that group. I sat in a presentation just a few months ago, and I listened to a former employee of a very large corporation here in Cleveland talk about how he ripped off their mailing lists and ripped off their customer base, and was very proud of that.
Wow.
And the group actually applauded that. The group, go, you know. And I'm sorry, but Boundless Flight is no longer going to be involved in not just supporting, but even in participating in groups that harbor that type of a mentality. That's wrong. It's morally wrong, and it's going to be very destructive to the business climate of Cleveland if it continues to be supported by the groups.
Yeah, that's stealing from a stagnant pie instead of helping grow that pie, which we all know innovation, entrepreneurship, true entrepreneurship can make that pie grow for all of us.
Absolutely true. I'm on the board of a group that's housed out in UCLA, and I can't say a lot yet because we're right in the middle of the product definition and rollout, but the group is being headed up by Dr. Len Kleinrock, who is one of the fathers of the Internet, true fathers of the Internet. He actually invented the IP switch. And Dr. Uni Kao, who is one of the inventors of Ask.com. Uni is as sharp as they come in search engine and automation on the Internet. This group called Platformation is going to be rolling out a product that is literally going to redefine the way we do Internet purchasing. And I'm going to stop there. I can't say a lot more.
Oh, come on, give us a little.
When I compare the level of innovation and the energy and the forethought that's going into groups like Platformation with some of the other efforts I see around me, it's night and day. It's such a pleasure to be involved in a group like that that's positive, energetic, and very optimistic as opposed to some of the other groups I see. So true innovation breeds success.
Right.
It really does. But when all you're doing is just taking the pie and slicing it to conveniently benefit yourself at a given point in time, that's not innovation.
Right. You know, I heard this morning the U.S. News came out with its report on colleges, and Case was once again the highest ranked in Ohio. I think they're 41st best college, something like that. And you, pretty recent past, were a professor there. Do you keep in touch with Case, or what's going on with you and Case Western Reserve?
You know, I've maintained a relationship with over 250 of my alumni from Case, students that I've taught over the years, former professors I've known. Mike Ginsberg's a great example. Just love him and his career. I still view the decision by Case to end their Master's in Science and Information Systems as one of the largest mistakes that was made at Case. One of the areas of Cleveland that so intensely needs development is that upper echelon, the upper thinking that goes on to true innovative information systems management and development. And I'll tell you, some of the students I taught in the MSIS program at Case were some of the brightest I've met in my 25 years of teaching at the university and graduate school level. Case has the ability to attract some of the very brightest. What we need to do is restore programs like the MSIS, continue aggressively attracting those quality of students, and figure out how to keep them here. Maybe this is where people like Jumpstart can come in. Set up a fund for students to come to Case, graduate in the program, and then let's give them an incentive stipend to stay in Cleveland. and we're maximizing innovation for local Cleveland companies, bringing value into the community instead of letting them run off to California and run off to New York. And in my LinkedIn network, my fastest growing areas of my CASE alumni groups are Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and Atlanta.
Wow.
Cleveland is the fifth ranked group for my CASE Western Reserve University graduate network. Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable. Wow.
It really is. And we've got to get that turned around. Man, we've got the capstone of the building right there in CASE Western Reserve University. We can attract those students. Let's get them in and let's give them incentive to stay and build up the community and the economy of Northeastern Ohio. Same thing with, you know, what Richard Herman is working with on developing a really strong, innovative, dynamic pool of folks coming in from outside the United States here in Northeastern Ohio. Let's bring the folks in from Romania. Let's bring the folks in from China. Let's bring them in and keep them here. Let's keep them here. And have them better our community with their innovation and their thirst for success and their thirst for excellence.
Looking at it from the other perspective, Boundless Flight has an office in China. Tell us about that and why you have to have that Chinese presence.
We're still incredibly dedicated to the Chinese market, both on the supply and the demand side. No secret, we have an offshore development team, .NET, Java, a lot of IBM tools. As a matter of fact, IBM is pulling us in even more aggressively now in the middleware space. And we're lining up a lot of resources to support that initiative. We got started by selling the preemptive tools over in China, and we're very proud to say that, you know, we've had now a four-year relationship with Preemptive on the sale of those tools, and we're stepping up our focus in that initiative intensely. Preemptive basically threw the gauntlet down on the table with us about a month ago and said, look, we need to get more sales over in China. And I turned back to my team over there and said, let's go. There's quite a few things going on in China, though, that still dramatically affect the way you do business there. You are always, from an American legal perspective, you're always doing things in China which may not be appreciated by some of the folks in the United States. You're always glad-handing. You're always encouraging people to do business with you in some very indirect ways. And when it comes to selling products in China, a lot of these companies do not do direct business with America. They want to do business with a Chinese corporation. So you have to have that middleman set up to be your agent in China to sell your tools. And that's what we're doing for Preemptive, and that's what we're very excited about really ramping up and doing here for IBM. We're also looking at moving into Vietnam now. You know my experience there in Vietnam. I was an interrogator. And we're looking at leveraging some of that influence over there as well. You know, China still continues to grow. The average income of the Chinese is rocketing precipitously, especially in the areas around the ocean, all the way Beijing, Shanghai, Hangzhou, all those large centers of industrial activity there. People are just growing and growing and growing, both in sophistication as well as in personal wealth. Property ownership is now a reality in China, much in the same model that we understand it. And yet there's still a job shortage in China. People are still looking for work. There's a lot of unemployment in China. But they have challenges, but they have a lot of significant, exciting opportunities, and we're just glad to be a part of it.
You mentioned your experience in Southeast Asia. I remember having lunch with you at Number One Pho, I think it was, and you were speaking with the waiter in Vietnamese. How important is it for a U.S. business to have at least a grasp of the culture, maybe the language, before dealing with the Far East?
It's essential. It's not a condition. It is essential. If you can't speak their language, they don't respect you nearly as much as they will if they see you even just making an effort. One of the really exciting patterns that I see right now in education cycles in the United States is we're starting to teach Mandarin Chinese, even in our grade schools. Bravo. We're 10 years too late. But bravo that we're doing it now. And I tell you, the Chinese culture will start to respect us. I'll never forget standing in a hotel in Hangzhou, China, and having a little bit of a debate going on with the desk clerk about my phone bill, and realizing that I wasn't doing a very good job of mastering Mandarin Chinese on the spot. And so I kind of raised my voice a little bit in the hotel lobby, and I said, does anyone here speak English? And someone in perfect, elegant English answered back to me, what's English? So, yeah, no, they want you there in their world to participate in their language, just as we want people to come to the United States and speak English.
You know, you already touched on this some, but there's a growing Asian population in Cleveland, and I think we're all happy about that, a growing immigrant population. On one hand, it's a shame if we have people out of work here. It would be great to be able to hire them. But for whatever reason, and maybe you can tell us what you think the reasons are, some of the locals, we don't have the skill set that local corporations need to hire, and they're looking for H-1B visas or, you know, these to bring people in from overseas. What do you think's going on there?
Well, it's a systemic issue which has deep roots. You know, if a young person hasn't learned to read well by the time they're even in fourth or fifth grade, they're going to struggle for the rest of their academic career. Some people would disagree with me on that, but I've seen that pattern repeated hundreds of times. We need to do a much better job in our educational systems, in our families, of providing stable places for the children to thrive. I made a statement at one of the network groups a few months ago that really, really created quite an uproar. I had no idea the energy I was going to get out of this statement. I said, you know, when I compare the quality of children that I see coming out of the typical public institution, especially in the inner city, with the quality of education I see going on in homeschooling, I said, I truly believe that the next generation of leaders in America are going to be vastly populated with people coming out of homeschooled arenas. Oh my goodness, you would have thought I threw a gallon of kerosene on an open flame. The whole room just, what are you talking about? How in the world can you give any credibility to homeschooling? And I just kind of sat in awe for about 15, 20 minutes while around this table these people just told me that I just had no clue what was going on. And I'm telling you, we're not doing a good job in our public education institutions in the inner cities. We're not, as a community, no, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm saying we are not doing a good job of building home environments where children are able to reach their true levels of excellence and excel. And the kids who are excelling are doing so out of almost going against all odds and are coming out to be very, very strong. But we're losing large numbers of young people who become confused, become dazed by the system. And you know, once you get to that point, then you start looking for other avenues that bring you short-term success instead of long-term success. And then they head to the drugs, they head to the other activities that decay instead of build. As a community, we have to address this. As communities across America, we have to address this. We can't let it go much longer. Very, very pleased with the energy and the direction I see coming from the Cleveland Public School Districts now. It's long overdue. We now have to step back and we have to start addressing family stability issues.
Well, listeners, we've been speaking with Gary Bain, he's the CEO of Boundless Flight, and as always, Gary is very forthright and willing to share his opinions, and we appreciate that. It's what you see is what you get thing with Gary here. And you can see that Boundless Flight is in on all the cutting-edge buzzwords, project management, the green initiatives, entrepreneurship, China, all of that. So we'll be keeping in touch with you, Gary, to see what's new and hot and coming down the pike. Thanks, Gary.
Hey, Dan. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.